Welcome inside the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health. Well, in the last episode of the pod, we got the chance to catch up with Athletic Director Scott Carr, and at the time, there was breaking news that FIU had hired a new indoor volleyball coach, and you heard Scott talk about her pedigree of winning. Well, now we're going to put a name and a face to that pedigree of winning, which has kind of become the main criteria for hiring head coaches around here, and so we get the chance to catch up with Flavia Sequeira, the new indoor volleyball coach. Could not have enjoyed the conversation more, couldn't have been more impressed with Coach Sequeira and what her philosophies are as it regards continuing a winning program here at FIU. So a quick timeout, and then Flavia Sequeira, the new indoor volleyball coach, here in the 305.
At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, you don't have to be a pro athlete to be treated like one. We use the latest innovations to create a treatment plan personalized for you, no matter who you are. Our team of orthopedic and sports medicine specialists have the expertise to help you get back out there performing at your best. And with top-notch recovery and physical therapy, you'll be back in the game and living your life to the fullest in no time. Welcome to pro-level orthopedic care. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/ortho.
Hey, it's the Good Greek Spiro, and as a former police SWAT officer, I know what it takes to build a great team and to be a great operator. I've applied these principles in building the world's only total relocation company. From listing your house for sale to finding your dream home and everything in between, Good Greek can do it all. Good Greek also offers junk removal and auto shipping to complement our renowned moving and storage business. For your total relocation solutions, go to goodgreek.com.
Good Greek Moving and Storage, your superhero movers.
Joined now by the brand new indoor volleyball coach here at FIU, Flavia Sequeira, joining us on the FIU Athletics Podcast. Coach, first off, welcome. Happy to have you here in Miami. I always ask every athlete, every newcomer, this exact same first question, so I'll ask it to you. Why FIU? What drew you here to Miami?
Hi, thank you so much for having me, guys. Why FIU? Too many reasons why FIU, right? I think the rising program that, you know, administration has decided to create, the environment, the goals, and the vision was something very appealing to me during the interview process. The academic piece, of course, FIU offers a lot of great majors, and it's an attractive location for anyone. Miami is a beautiful place, very diverse, and a place that I've been around for many years before, and it does feel like home to me.
That's where I wanted to go with you. Were there any first impressions of South Florida when you were at Lynn? What was the takeaways from then? You're like, okay, I know South Florida now. Obviously, Lynn is not in Miami, but were there kind of South Florida takeaways that first time around?
So I've been in the U.S. for over 20 years, and every vacation I've taken, it was towards, of course, South Florida.
Sure.
So Miami was not new to me even when I was in college, yeah. Right? So living in Boca, yeah, it's not Miami, but this too to me feels like very similar. The cuisine, the people, you know, the warmth of everyone around you is just the same thing. So yeah, I feel like I do belong in South Florida because of that.
I can actually speak to that more than you realize. So I grew up in South Florida, and my first job out of college was in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Oh my goodness.
Covering, among many things, the University of Mary Marauders.
You're lying.
So I know exactly how you feel when you're coming from college to South Florida.
I'm gonna tell you, it's been 20 years since I've met somebody from Bismarck, North Dakota. This is awesome.
I know exactly how it goes, but what I'm curious about is that transition to North Dakota. I mean, coming from Brazil to Bismarck, I mean, there's not two wider differences there. What was
you
that
know,
like for you?
I think the recruiting, of course, has changed so much back in the day. And don't call me old. Back in the day, the recruiting was done on phone calls and trust.
Yeah.
Right? There's no links. There's no let's watch more video. So not knowing for sure what was going to be like living in the Midwest was very interesting, but I wouldn't change it for anything. I think my experience in college going from Brazil to the Midwest was amazing. I learned a lot about the American culture and the history, and of course the different things that you don't have in Brazil. Miami, Brazil, you know, Miami, South Florida, and where I grew up in Brazil is similar. The weather, the people, the culture, the food, and etc. North Dakota is not.
It's not.
So I did learn, again, a lot about things I would never expect in life, hunting and ice fishing and doing the snowboarding and everything else. Absolutely a great experience for me at a young age. Of course, having to deal with the weather and the adversity, I would say a very different culture.
Very.
You know, mm-hmm. It was eye-opening to a 17-year-old. So I loved it, and I think it's just one of the best things that ever happened. I wouldn't change it.
For those who don't know, that's the worst winter in the United States.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe other than Alaska. Okay. So when you finished at UMary, how important was it for you to say, okay, I want to go to a warm weather place? And you went to Wyoming, so I mean, there was obviously some continued cold in there, but how important was getting away from that winter at a certain point?
So going back to, you know, there are things that you wish you could have done way easier than just pick a place and go. But right. As an international student at the time, an international coach, I had to go to places that would provide me my work visa. Yeah. And at that time, Wyoming was it. So not a huge change, but nothing compares to the winter in North Dakota. Yeah. So, and Wyoming was beautiful. I lived 40 minutes away from Yellowstone Park. You could open your windows and just see the beauty, you know, on every day. So again, another great experience for me. Did I miss the weather? Yes. Did I miss South Florida and, you know, just seeing the sun for more than 3 months a year? Yes. However, again, I think every place I've been taught me different lessons, and Wyoming is just another one. And every, you know, chance I had in the summer, I always come back to South Florida. And that's what I said. It's been almost a year. I don't feel like I've left.
In bringing it back to the volleyball side, describe for FIU fans the style that you want to bring to FIU volleyball that was honed in Bismarck and Wyoming and Lynn, all culminating in this. How would you describe a Coach Takeda team?
I think throughout the years, coaches, of course, just like athletes and the generations, change. To me, one thing that has not changed is the passion that I have for the sport of volleyball. Regardless of the division I coach, the division I played, or the type of athletes I recruit, I'm still very passionate. I'm still a very disciplined person, therefore disciplined coach as well. My teams, I would like for them to be known as a team that's respectful, but also that competes and is greedy. I enjoy that very much, and it goes back to that passion. Also, I think that the thing that sometimes gets lost in translation, I want everybody to be still humble and very thankful for the opportunity to be a student athlete. There are moments that during the recruiting process, you kind of lose some of that with everything that has happened with NCAA, how much it has changed. And that's one thing I still want my athletes to be known for and represent the university well.
Overall, in the transition, how much does it help coming into a program that is right off of success? So instead of selling potentially, hey, FIU can be this, it was, hey, FIU was this, and now we're going to make it even better.
With all the respect, it's not a selling point for me at all. Just because I wasn't the coach that achieved the success, and the athletes are no longer here. So therefore, it is a starting over for us, and it's what we can build together with the athletes who will stay, but also the athletes that are going to believe in what we're trying to put together from scratch.
So then from that standpoint, kind of take us through these first few weeks, and it's chaotic all the time, now even more so. What has it been like for you?
Chaotic it would have been if I were hired maybe 2 weeks before.
Sure.
I did, because of the transfer portal. That would have been awesome. Timing wasn't there for that.
Right.
So the chaotic moments of the portals open, for me, you know, it's kind of, I missed on that. Right now is just analyzing more of the freshman class that's available domestic and internationally compared to the transfers. I love transfers. I think they bring something special, something different with the fact that they've been in the game a little bit. They are more mature when it comes to being a student athlete. However, trying to pick the right kids at this moment.
What is that criteria that you're looking for? Is it on-court success? Is it the personality when you meet them and you talk to them? What is kind of some of the things you look for in a transfer?
I would say there are always several sides to a story, right? So why are you transferring? Mm-hmm. And what are you looking for to do differently that didn't happen at our school? Because what we don't want is another transfer that will transfer again.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard. There are moments I feel it's legit why athletes do leave. I feel genuine about the reasons. There are moments you always have that, I'm not sure if I trust you. So I think just being more cautious about doing, you know, the homework behind the scenes. I think that's something I've learned in the last couple of years, making phone calls. How was this athlete in high school or club and before she reached college? Is this a pattern or is this just a one-time thing? I think that takes time as well. It takes a lot of effort. Unfortunately, the transfer portal doesn't give you a lot of time.
Not
as a coach.
All.
It's just I want a decision in 24 hours, and I can't give that usually.
How much has it helped in this carryover? You know, how much are you leaning on Jill or Dan, the players and the coach that has been here and at least kind of have that familiarity with FIU?
We are starting slow, okay? Not trying to rush on a court or even with, you know, the assistant positions. Trying to take the time to understand FIU and work with admin as much as we can. Hen has been great asset to have. She's a sweetheart. She's very engaged in what she does. She's very proud of being a young coach, and I appreciate that very much. Jill's going to be a leader for us on the court. We've had several conversations outside the volleyball court where we're trying to build something together and see her vision for this program as she has been here. And she has been on the lows and the highs, so it's pretty valid, you know, to see her side of the story as a student athlete.
As you kind of came up through the different levels, once you got to D1, I'm curious, what was the biggest difference that you noticed in Division I volleyball versus some of the previous levels?
If you were to ask me if I have a preference, I'm going to tell you I love junior college. And people ask, why? Well, I think the biggest difference that I can tell is if you don't give everything you have in a junior college, you don't transfer. You don't get a second opportunity. You don't get your bachelor's degree. Where that doesn't really happen in a four-year school, you're already there. So there are moments I feel like student athletes getting out of high school have one goal. I want to play D1. And once they get to that level as a freshman or sophomore, some, not all of them, of course, but some go, okay, I achieved my goal. I'm here. And they kind of settle a little bit. Whereas the junior college athlete understands, I'm a freshman, wasn't everything I could have done. Crap, I'm a sophomore. Oh my gosh, I have to give everything because I need a place to go. It goes by so fast. So I would say the transition and the differences I've seen is that. With Division II and Division I, I would say, of course, the budget is a big difference and how you scholarship players, how much you can afford. And if you were to ask in all of them, I definitely would say the behind the scenes, the paperwork and the rules and compliance and everything. Each division has a way to do things, of course, and Division I is the one that does the most.
Right. Overall, and speaking of kind of that doing the most and the process of it, how has FIU, and understanding it's very early, compared to Georgia in that regard? Is it all kind of, hey, D1 is D1, or have you picked up on kind of the differences working at FIU as opposed to Georgia State?
There are plenty of differences, that's for sure. I mean, there are things when it comes to compliance, rules and regulations that regardless of where you are,
right,
they're the same. However, I would say FIU has been extremely excited about the path of volleyball and the vision that they have. And that's something different for me that I've had in the past. And again, I think just how much involvement it has been in such a short period of time that I've been here for 2 weeks, but everyone in different departments has been extremely helpful and open doors for me to ask questions and understand that we're still building a roster and we're still building the staff and everything else that has been a little bit behind scheduling and traveling and everything that should have been done by now. So I definitely can just say I've been treated with a lot of respect and I appreciate that from all the departments so far.
We always talk about teams that put the I in FIU, the international. Volleyball tends to be a little more domestic generally. Is that something that you, she's already shaking her head, the international players, like, get out of here. So that's obviously where you want to lean. You do want to use international players on the volleyball court.
I probably can tell you that the successes I've had in my career were a good combination of both. I've always had international athletes, and for no particular reason, to be honest. A player who can play volleyball and brings what I'm looking for in an athlete can be from anywhere. Being a junior college coach and a Division II coach was more attractive to a lot of international players than domestic players because of that whole, I'm not a Division I school. So I created a pipeline of a decade with a lot of recruiters or agents and even coaches overseas that I trust, and they know my style, they know who I am, and I definitely will continue to work with them at this level. So the goal is to have a diverse team with a lot of domestic and international players.
This kind of speaks to exactly what you were just talking about, but how is the recruiting process different for an international player as opposed to a domestic one?
Wow, there are a lot of differences. I would say once a domestic kid understands this Miami, the next question goes, how much?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
What else?
Mm-hmm.
And what about this residence hall compared to that one? So the questions are different. They're all valid.
Yeah.
They're just different. An international player will go, when can I come?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, wow, it's Florida. Right. You know, it's attractive because they know certain locations in a country, and Miami is definitely one that everybody knows. Questions that are valid in both ways, and I think it's just, will I play? Mm-hmm. Sometimes that question comes about, do I get playing time? Well, I don't make that decision, you do. So that could be for both. Another question that sometimes is not hasn't happened yet during this recruiting process in the last few days, but Miami is a big city that a lot of people might have concerns. And interesting enough, more of the domestic parents have concerns compared to international parents.
Last one for you, Coach. Take us through the next 6 months for you.
I mean, obviously these last 2 weeks have been wild, but now as we lead up to the indoor season, what do you think that's going to look like for you? What do you want to accomplish leading up to this campaign?
It's a beautiful question. Well, right now it's off season, right? So for us, limited amount of practices and limited amount of time that we can spend with the athletes. However, it's the time to build that trust, build a process, put on paper what it looks like, set goals, and move forward slowly, but the right way. I think, as I said before, we're not in a hurry to put a team together because we want to be very cautious of who we pick. But at the same time, we understand it is the spring and a team needs to be, you know, kind of concluded by the end of the semester. A lot of training, a lot of individual training, that's for sure. So we can get to know the athlete at her personal level and see what she can do. But also to me, the personalities, I think understanding what kind of athletes we have right now and what we can build around them. It's very important for me.
No doubt. All right, Coach, we're looking forward to it. It's such a fun sport, so we can't wait to see you work.
Awesome, appreciate it.
Awesome conversation there with Coach. And that last match of the indoor season for FIU last year, the Conference USA title game, was probably one of the most fun broadcasts that I think we've ever had. And now with Coach Takeda in town and a lot of the philosophies that you heard about right there, it seems like there's going to be a lot more enjoyment on the horizon. Fall's got a lot to be fired up about, but we're just getting to spring, the heart of crossover season, as we call it. It's right around the corner. We're going to have both basketballs, both diamond sports, the winter and the spring mesh, with so much going on the campus of FIU. It's a really, really good time to be in Panther Nation. That's going to do it for us on this week's edition of the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health. Be sure to keep it locked right here, FIUsports.com, your number one spot for everything going on right here in the 305. For now, and as always, paws up.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.